So I don't have a real yet title for this message. I think I do, but I maybe don't. So one title is something like, what is that? Is that the right message? That's saved. Who are you? Is Welcome to the Revolution. It's one deal. And I'm kind of liking that title a little bit, but not sure. Where'd you go, the Lord thingy? So, open your Bible if you want. So I'm a good chapter and verse guy, but there's some other stuff. We're still kind of in the intro. But in 1 Corinthians 12, verse 1, it says, "And concerning spiritual things, brother, I do not wish to be ignorant." And the word spiritual gifts there in the King James, the word gifts isn't like the word. The Greek word is pneumaticon, and that word means spiritual things. So you could translate 1 Corinthians 12:1 as now concerning spiritual operations. Family in Tennessee, I want you to be knowledgeable how things in the spirit operate. Those things in the spirit operate in you. You're a spiritual being. You need to know the weapons of your warfare. You need to know strategies. You need to know how to maneuver. You need to know how long to stay. It's like you're going to the swimming pool. How long can you hold your breath? Can you swim to the other side? You need to know how to operate in that environment. Your home environment is heavenlies. That's your home environment. Okay. Years ago, the Lord said, stop visiting heaven and living on earth. I want you to live in heaven and visit earth.
Yeah, yeah.
I went, I have a mortgage, I have a family, I have a job, I have. So hopefully you guys are probably love God more than I do, and you don't argue as much. But the thing is, we need to change our point of reference,
yeah.
Right? It works out better. So now concerning spiritual operations, okay? Our great, awesome God wants you to be a specialist, okay, on earth as it is in heaven. So if you're really good in heaven, earth will line up. We thought, man, I got to study for this test and get ready and discipline my kids and da-da-da-da-da-da, all natural things, which is you need to do that. But if you come from a heaven perspective, if you get it settled here, it's easier on earth.
Yeah.
Okay? Not the other way around. And you know it about the, you know, the classic thing of, oh, you know, as soon as I get cleaned up, then I'll get saved. That's natural, then spiritual. Then you take it into the kingdom. Oh, as soon as I get my family set up, then I'll go in heaven and deal with my family. No, go in heaven first, okay? And then come down and deal with it. Okay? It's a little tip. So, make sure everyone gets, take one of these and pass it around. On my business card is my website, and so there's some blogs on there. The latest blog's called Coup d'etat, about making a coup and a revolution. That's a pretty cute one. It's a short one, just real crass-free. But on the website, there's access to my books, access to the podcasts, access to some videos. This video will be on there eventually. Also on the card, there is my Podomatic site. There's like 60 messages on there. These are all free. If you like what's there and you need the books, all my books, I can send you the electronic version. You know, some people don't like the electronic version because they're a hard copy person. I'm a hard copy person. But don't let money stop you. Right, my job is to equip you. So if you need something you think that's in my arsenal, contact the email and say, hey, Wallace, I saw you. This looks really interesting about how to expand my spirit. I listened to it 85 times or listened one time. Do you have any other material about that? And I'll go, let me see it, and I'll send it to you. Right? Hey, that Seven Spirits book you talked about, can you send it to me? Yeah. You know? Everything I have, I mean, it's just not the title. It's like you learn to meditate in my Seven Spirits book. You know, God goes, you need to meditate. And I'm like, it's all New Age or weirdos. He goes, Google it. Google? You do Google? Yes, I'm Googling. I find all these New Age sites of meditation. He goes, okay, use that site there. He goes, okay, steps 1 through 6 are good. Step 7 is bad. What does step 7 say? And let the demons come in. Okay, I won't do that one. So, got it, you know. But 1 through 6, we're good, right? So I took 1 through 6, and 1 through 6 in the book, and because he's like, your mind, you get some stuff in your mind. And the scripture was, David said, there's one thing I desire, okay? And so page 4 in the Seven Spirits book really sets up for me to actually be able to focus on the Father. If you can't meditate, you can't focus. If you can't focus, you can't hear. If you can't hear, you can't do things His way, not do things your own strength. So we got that strength stuff. Proverbs 25:2, it's the glory of God to conceal a matter. Yay, we know that. But the glory of kings is search out a matter.
Yeah.
This is, you are kings. Okay, and as a king, you get the joy of finding out how stuff is, to learn how to use your strategies in heaven, not just based upon what your parents told you, what you learned in school, all of that. You have access to the mind of God, right? And that's what kings do. Then once we get the mind of God, we get to direct stuff and not go, man, I hope these things work out. Hope. You get to command and decree and declare. And the first time you do it, it is awkward, right? And you gotta, but you gotta practice it, right? So let's get to the message, not that part. Acts 9. Oh, here's this part. Yeah. So, a lot of times when someone, definitely myself, comes and starts laying out a mission, direction, goal, depending upon who you are, we start thinking about, I gotta do more. We start clicking on the work button, like, okay, what's this guy asking me to do? I do so much already. I'm already doing. So, okay, that's usually true. So I'm repenting for all the guest speakers you've ever had and whatever. And it comes out that way. Part of it is, in the atmosphere, there are spirits that are making or twisting the revelation and making you have to do something. Okay? They're not helping you tap into the power and the might of God. You can easily walk in the rest. So there's a little bit of the environment, right? Then there's just your own brain of how you've heard things in your past. You all have different baggage and stuff. So we kind of twist things, you know. The guy says, love the Lord, we hear, you mean give more money. The guy didn't say that, but it's in the atmosphere or whatever, you know. So try to click on this real quick. So John chapter 6, verse 28, 29. I'm not a big tattoo guy, but if you were gonna, if you wanted permission to tattoo something, this is the only verse I would give you permission to tattoo. Not that you need my anything, but this, there's something about all religion is works-based, right? And all works are fear-based, right? The scripture says, the guys are like, okay, look, Jesus, we're at your conference. We're all excited about your conference. Okay, first question, because you said we could ask questions. Okay, what are we to regularly, habitually do the wonder works of God? We want to be those people that change the world. Great question, right? And hopefully that's in your heart too. You want to be the best you. You want to shock the world, change the world. You want to be a blessing. Blah, blah, blah. Great question. This is the question. You know, what are we to do to carry out what God requires? This is probably the best question these guys ever said in the New Testament, right? Jesus says, this is only one work that you got to do. They all work. We knew it. We got to fast, right? We got to do 623 laws. We got to work. Jesus says, one thing you got to do. One thing God asks you, that you believe. From this day on, you don't have to do anything but believe. No, Wally, you tell me I got to trade. Nope. You got to believe. Well, don't I got to come to meetings? No, you got to believe. The first thing you got to do is believe. Okay? And then when you're believing Jesus, and Jesus says to you, hey, I want you to go to the meeting, then you're walking by faith, okay? It's not an effort. But my bank account says I don't have enough money to fly to name a place. Don't look at your bank account, okay? Last year, I got to go to New Zealand for a total of $60. I was there for 2 weeks. Why? Because Jesus, well, God, someone said, I want you to go to New Zealand and be a son of God. And I went, what does that even mean? You know, Ian's already there. So was Grant. And I mean, and why New Zealand? I want to go to South Africa. And, you know, my agenda, you know, kind of deal. I couldn't argue about the price because the year before he already made a way financially for the flight deal. And that's a whole other story. But again, it's not questioning the request. It's saying yes. Okay? It's just easier. Now, yeah, I've heard that before. Anyway, but really the only work that you need to get good at is learning how to believe. And that is actually a work. Some of us, I'm a doubter by nature. I've been hurt a lot. You know, people, I've trusted people, and they've just not come through. So I don't do it anymore. I look at you and go, well, they'll be there. I don't expect you there at all. This is bad, you know. Bible's been true. Let God be true, every man a liar. God even calls everyone a liar. So I'm in that camp. You're all liars, you know. I told you earlier, I don't believe that anyone exists on Facebook. I talk to a lot of people that I don't believe in, but it guards my heart, right? So it's probably kind of twisted too, but I'm telling you, there's only one person you do need to believe who's always faithful and true, okay? Yeah. And that's a way to guard your heart. If you give your heart to a human, humans will do things to it that may not be helpful, okay? God will never crush your heart. He may get stuff out of your heart, you know? You may think it's bad. I wanted that in there. I wanted that lust. Let me lust. Wally, that's an addiction. No, I want it. It's been there for a long time. Yes, it has been there for a long time. I'm used to it. Yes, you are used to it. It's not good for you. Yes, it is. It keeps me warm at night. No, that lady is not your wife. That's lust. But do you love me? Yes, I still love you, but we're going to take care of that. Why am I going to do that? Because one day, I told the Lord, I want to be a man after God's own heart. I gave him permission to do stuff in my life, right?
Yeah.
So, it's always good to give God, because God is good at what he does. People aren't, you know. God is very, very good at it. Yeah. Anyway, but yeah, that scripture about the, and when I get into my works mode, okay, I need to go speak more places, therefore I need to advertise, I need to believe for a marketing person. Okay, I'm thinking, I'm talking. I need to go, okay, well, how do you want to do this? When he first told me to start speaking, he says, I want you to, whoever invites you to speak, go speak. I go, no one knows me. And he told me, don't advertise. Well, that's easy. I'm going to go, I'll say yes to anyone who doesn't know me, but they won't know me, so yay, you know. And when they do invite you, you need a minimum of 3 people. Okay, so 2 months later, I get a Facebook. Hey, Wally, can you come speak? Darn it, invitation. And they go, what's your honorarium needs? I have no honorarium, but I need to have at least 3 people in the room. That's easy. Me and my husband will be there, and we'll find at least one more. Then I'm coming. Is that all you need? Well, I'd like to have a place to stay. I'd like to have maybe something. But I only need 3 people, an invitation. And then later on, the Lord said, wherever you go, engage with the territorial spirits, the angels over there. So I go, so that's all my requirements. It's like a set of 3. And one of them you guys can't do, that I have to engage the angels. So I go, then so that year, I'm flying to California. They flew me out to some place called, what city is Bethel in?
Reading.
They fly me to Reading. I'm going, no, there's already a Johnson there.
Yeah.
His name is Bill.
Yeah.
Bill's got
yeah.
a few more books than me. Yeah. So, God, I'm not going to Reading, California. just letting you know, right? Just, and the lady who said it, I said, I don't think so. She's, I said, why don't you pray about it? Yeah, pray about it. Because God and I both know that Bill's doing a good job. You know? And so she prays about it for a month, and she comes, yep, I believe you're supposed to go. I'm like, oh, but you believe. She heard my teeth. I said, so, now, the Lord didn't tell me about if I was paying or not, so I wasn't still sure about this deal, but I'm thinking, like, I want to pay for an East Coast to West Coast flight, but I don't want to mess up what God's doing, so I'm silent on the topic. The lady goes, I'll pay for the flight. I'm thinking, oh, she's going to pay with faith money. She goes, I'm ready. I go, right. I go, so you're like, we can go to American Airlines or United Airlines right now. Yeah. I'm like, come on, girl, give up. You know you don't get no money. You're younger than I am. You're just a person. You're not a ministry. You're not. And you're not. So I go, okay, let's call United. Stay on the phone. I'm thinking, this girl's bold. She's going to go to the, And we make the arrangements with the flight attendant, I mean the person on the phone. And I'm thinking, man, she's bold. I said, here we go. And the lady goes, I need your credit card number. Come on, give it. Hang up quick. Hang up. She gives a number, and I get an email confirmation. And I'm like, no, I don't believe it, right? I'm in doubt of, God, I can't go rebuild that. I mean, bill, you know. Bill. And so the ticket's done, and I fly in, and on the flight there, I get a word for Bethel.
Yeah! Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, I don't, and it ends up that my friend is a third-year Bethel student. I'm like, you don't need me. There's nothing in me. Jesus is there, you know, kind of stuff. And she's like, no, you gotta go. And I'm like, then I get this word for Bethel. I'm thinking, can I speak with Bill Johnson, please? Oh, you know, I'm not going to do that, right? And that's stupid, right? But I'm thinking, how do I get it there, right? And so I land, they pick me up. I go to his house, speaking. So I give the word for, I'm thinking, well, I'm in the atmosphere. He doesn't have to be sitting in front of me. So I give the word, right? I blend it with the message. There was a couple sitting right there. And after the message is over, they go, oh, that's great. We'll make sure that, oh, I'm sorry. We're over all the pastors at Bethel. And I almost fainted right there. You know, I'm like, was the word too hard?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
And so God will make a way. So if I do my part, he'll do his part, right? So don't worry about working and going, you know, just do your part, right?
Yes. Like, yeah. Yes.
But,
woo, come on.
So,
crawling.
Logging. Okay, so.
Training.
So that scripture, I believe. So when things get tough, hard, and you're not seeing any results, go back to God and go, hey, I think I'm believing, right? Is there anything in me that's in the way? Is there some doubt, something? Have I been talking the wrong stuff? Have I? Don't beat yourself up. Go to the lover of your soul and say, how are we doing? Because there's nothing, God doesn't send you out to fight on your own, okay? There's nothing that you're believing for that he's not believing for either, okay? There's always, you can always check in, right? So, we're now, that was all warm up, okay? So here's this word that blew my mind. So, here's how he introduced this to me. Last week, so I was raised on sci-fi and horror movies. So that's my default. Click, 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 ooh. Click, 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 ooh. Sci-fi. So I was doing that the other night. Now usually, so like, before I go speak, probably, depends on how long I'm speaking, so maybe 2 or 3 or 4 days before that, I kind of cut down all external stuff coming in, because I know it's going to come out, so I, you know. But this was outside the window. So I'm watching this movie, click, click, click. I had never seen it before. It was called Rupture. Now, I do not recommend this movie, okay? You'll probably see anyway, but in those, Rupture. But what I'm going to say is, the movie was a horror movie, and so the Lord said, don't share the gory, share the glory. Okay? I'm like, there was no glory in the movie. Da-da-da-da-da. There are a lot of, the way when I talk about the movie is, they did this, but here's what God's doing. Okay. So let me read you what's on the, if you click on HBO, whatever it is, here's the little description, right? Here's what it says. Abducted and studied by a group of strangers, a single mother, the mother's genetic abnormality causes her to transform into her true self. I read that, I go, her true self. I'm into my true self. Transform, I want to be transfigured. Mm-hmm. So I click on it. Mm-hmm. You know, and it was horrible. It was boring. It wasn't very exciting. The graphics are bad. The storyline, she wasn't even a superhero. Even when she gets transformed into, it was like, that's nothing awesome, right? So I'm thinking, why am I watching this movie? I have the ability sometimes to click off. But it's like, no, keep watching. I'm like, now I didn't know this would be the foundation for this message here, right?
Okay.
So again, the whole focus is about transformation into our true self, okay? And we're going to talk about that. I believe the revolution that's required for this planet to change what it is will be done by new creation in Christ Jesus, who evolved to be who they fully are, okay? The real new you is required of the Father for the revolution to occur, okay? That's what I believe. This movie is about, the movie starts, the lady's house has cameras all over the place, and so they're observing her to find out what triggers her to change. The Father knows what to trigger you. Now, they're using fear. God doesn't use fear to trigger you. He uses faith and revelation. Okay, the more revelation, the more that you, in 2 Corinthians 3:16, as I behold in the mirror the glory of God, I'm transformed from glory to glory. This is what we're talking about. We need to all be transformed. Right? So in the movie, they're observing her. You're observed all the time. Not by the demonic, because they're doing their best. But the Father knows you. He knows what makes you tick. He knows the revelations you need for you to believe. The example, doubting Thomas. I got this from the message today. Doubting Thomas says, I ain't going to believe until I put his fingers and his hands in his side. Guys got that bet. In order for him to believe, the Lord showed up. What's it going to take for you to get on God's plan for your life? Okay, is it 25 miracles? Cool. No biggie to God. But nothing's happening to you until you start believing, right? I don't know what's holding us back from believing, but do you want to change? Thomas says, well, I'd love to believe, but I'm not going to believe until I see a few things. In this movie, the lady was living her life, raising her son, right? And so no one's going to abduct you. But in worship, we do come into a place of being single-minded and focused, right? Yeah. And so we need to get to the place where we're focusing on one thing. In the movie, they were trying to get her to focus on transforming. We need to get her focused on loving the Lord Jesus Christ and believing, being believing believers who believe. Okay? Not, I believe for some things and I've stopped believing. I believe half the scriptures. I believe that on Monday. I don't believe it now. We need to be fully in, right? So in the movie, they make this lady be fully in. Okay? They override her will. God will never override your will, right? But he'll put you in situations that you get to choose him, right? If you decide not to choose him, well, okay. You go on being normal. But his goal for your life is not normal, okay? My shirt says, training to save the world, okay? The Bible says, when the sons of God fully manifest, coming to the right place, all creation will stop being frustrated, and we will really save not only the world, but all creation. But not because we're hopeful, we have to transform, okay? So this strange movie is all about what's the trigger. They're trying to figure out how can we get the new life in this lady out of her, right? And they do it for these men. Some people engage with the trigger and transform, some don't, okay? Same thing with you every day. God's plan for you is to be transformed to the image of Christ Jesus, as in Romans, right? Are you in agreement with that plan, or are you fighting that plan? In the movie, several people fought the plan and did not transform into their new life, right? This meeting is about encouraging you to find out God's plan, believe it, and engage with it, all right? Because your new life, your real life, according to Colossians chapter 3, is hidden in Christ Jesus, or hidden in God. He's told you where the life is, right? It's not a mystery. It's not like, man, I wish I knew where that dance studio was. I'd go to it and be transformed. Well, it is. It's relief. Or how do you use it?
Relevé.
Right? Mm-hmm. It's French.
Yeah, it means to rise.
Yeah. I did look in your website.
But I didn't know Jesus when I named it, but that's pretty cool too, right?
So we need to do a self-check. Are we on God's plan today? My plan? My parents' plan? Whose plan are we playing with, right? And this is one of those, and only you know Well, you need to find out whose plan you're on. Don't be just, I'm on my husband's plan and he won't let me. Okay, that may be true. But in your heart, Father, you know how my spouse is, and I think I'm supposed to go to church every Sunday, but he doesn't want to go, so he's keeping me from growing in the Lord. That's a lie from hell. Okay. A church doesn't change you. The glory of God changes
Amen.
You.
Okay. That's good.
So that's the deal, right? Do you want, it's more about, do you want to be changed, yes or no? If yes, then the Lord will make a way. If no, then you'll just be existing, right? But it starts with believing. If you choose to believe that he's able, then the next part is, will you let him? Okay? Yeah, and
yeah,
that's the thing, right?
That's
because
the strike.
And so that for me, it was like, I don't know him, I don't trust him, no way. So I'm like this, he ain't touching me. He can touch them. They can say they like it, they're lying, you know. And so I was like this, standoffish. The one I kept being like, hey, it looks like you're good. I'm not sure you're good. And I go, do this. You know, he played the let the fleece out, he try stuff out, that kind of thing, he would do that kind of thing. And but every time you give him a question, that's actually engaging. God does not mind any question. Any, well, how come you did? Now, he may have answered immediately, but he's not offended by your question. Okay? Not offended at all. And when you ask a question, you're now relating to him. That's what he wants. If you start relating to God, things will change. I didn't say, start doing what he says. Build rapport. Okay? You got to build a relationship before anything happens, right? But he'll tell you in the scripture what his goal is. Hey, I'm not lying. I'm changing you in, from the inside out. Don't get religious thinking it's from the outside in. That's what I thought for 40 years, right? Oh, I've got to change my church and I've got to put on the suit. God's, in Colossians chapters 2 and 3, he's dwelling inside of you. He wants to make a change from the inside out, right? And so, and it's easier that way, you know, because you're not performing for people. You know how many people want you to dress a certain way, do certain things? You can't please them, okay? You can please him. He's the only one you need to please, right? It's much easier to please one than 12, 14, or 100, however big your audience is. I mean, when I played Oklahoma, in the stands, like 42,000 people. I'm thinking I got to play for them. That's not very good, right? So the strange movie called Rupture, they actually get, they keep working with her, and she actually does transform, right? The thing which was on the inside actually comes to the outside. Inside of all of you is the glory of God. And God's trying to have that come out of you too. But will you participate? The only people in the movie who transformed were those who cooperated. It's called union. It's called, okay, God, I'll do it your way. I don't know how long it's going to take you to get there, but that's where we have to get to, right? This isn't, okay, I'll change to be like you. No. You just have to cooperate and believe that he does it, right? So I believe in this season, so the Hebraic year, this is year 5778. In this season, I believe we have been looking for revivals and reformations, all those R words, based upon what we've heard, what people have told us, what we've seen in India. They had 1 million people that were saved. And we're looking for something like that, right? And I'm thinking that the Bible says in Isaiah 43:19, behold, I'm doing a new thing. So if you're thinking about the change to your family that you saw in a book or saw in the past, you're actually in agreement with an illusion, not in agreement with Almighty God.
Right.
Okay?
That's good.
So your agreement in cooperation with the living God, not the God that's in some throne far, far away who's looking down at you, which I thought for a long time. Or then I elevated that to, okay, God, I know you're with people that like you, who are obedient, like Billy Graham. So most of my life was always, God, if you know, when you're done with Billy Graham, can we talk? But I know you're always with Billy Graham because Billy Graham's very busy. So I guess I'll just wait. And that was my relation with God. In my sports years, my relation was, God, I have a game on Saturday. Help me on Saturday, and I'll see you at church on Sunday. Now, if I was God, I would have honored that little silly thingy. But for Wally Johnson, for 16 years, no injuries, MVP, played all the stuff, I'm thinking like, why would you do that? Because he loves me. Right? Aww. It's love, yeah. Not manipulation control. I'll break his arm. I'll break his leg. He'll come to me then. He doesn't do that game. He's in the, I'll love him.
Kindness brings you to
repentance, right? The goodness of God brings us to repentance, right? So God was showing off his goodness, right? So finally, I was like going, hey, what are you doing? Again, I'm coming to him, not with an attitude, but I still came to him, right? He's like, come closer, I'll hug you. Back up. You know, kind of. But see, if we let him hug us, then we'll receive his love. But a lot of us do this. Well, I did this. Stay away. I don't know who you are. I can't trust you. I don't know what you'll do with my life. But then you start giving a little bit, and you go, wow, he's faithful. Yeah. So I believe the Lord's starting to do a new thing. So the scripture is Isaiah 43:19. I believe this thing, this new thing, not a revival, not a reformation, but a revolution, will be triggered by an evolution. Okay? Not by a program, not by a bunch of churches getting together, even churches across the planet, not this giant unification thing. Again, let me repeat this. I believe this thing, this new thing, it's not a revival, it's not a reformation, but it's a revolution. But it'll be triggered by an evolution. When we get out of ourselves, believe what 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, that you become, behold, all things, lo, all things become new, all things have passed away, and now you're a new creation in Christ Jesus. It's the start there. We believe that, then we can go from that level of newness to a level of glory, right? This isn't me getting cleaned up, this is me evolving. The evolution is not something you do, it's something that happens to you. Will you let the Lord change you? And the only thing you do is believe. You're not going to Bible school, you're not going to college, you're not fasting a meal or two or three. I've done all these things. It's not about what you do, it's about what you let him do with you. But you only let someone do something to you if you love them.
Right.
So you gotta figure out what love is, right? I believe the evolution of new creation, so I made up a word, I call it kinosapiens, right? It's going from one level of glory to another level of glory. That's 2 Corinthians 3:18. And for those who don't believe the scripture, it says, and all of us, with unveiled face, if you look at verse 17, God rips the veil off your face. So all our lives, we've had bad images of God. God's mean, he's a taskmaster, he's a judge. If we go to him, he'll pull that lie off of us. So all of us with unveiled face, okay, because we continually behold the word of God as in a mirror, as in the mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into his very own image. What? All I got to do is look at him? I'm changing? Yeah.
Where was that in Corinthians?
2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. We are transfigured into his very own image, into ever-increasing splendor, from one degree of glory to another. Okay? Now, when we think of transfigured, the first time I read that, I thought, oh, I have a better attitude about myself. I'll respect life better, and my self-worth will increase. And that's good. The word transfigure is actually demonstrated in Matthew chapter 17, where he's, you know, he takes Peter, James, and John up to a mountain. Verse 2, he goes bright white. So, bright. You know, it's not a, he got a new attitude. He changed. And so when I've been reading Matthew 17 and John chapter 3 for probably the last 7 or 8 years. Matthew 17, those first few verses changed my prayer life. I didn't have a prayer life really. I prayed a lot because people told me to, but it was always boring to me. And one day I said, Lord, I would love that to be my prayer time. Because it says Jesus took Peter, James, and John up to a mountain to pray. I thought, man, I wish my prayer time was like that. Lord goes, it can be. What? I'm not Jesus. I'm not a disciple. The excuse came. Brrr. So I kind of went, that lying spirit was teasing me. So a few weeks later to go by, I'm reading Matthew 17 again, trying to figure out, man, what did it look like when Jesus go, and the light shining through his clothes, and And all of a sudden, Elijah and Moses are talking to him. I'm getting all excited. The Lord goes, you can have that. Come on, don't tease me. You know I can't have that. Surely there's something you got to qualify. You got to go and you've got to sin 30,000 times. You got to speak to. There's a court and a scepter involved. And, you know, he's like, what's the work? Believe. So I started believing that. So then as I was believing for Matthew 17, Wally Johnson to turn bright white, and Wally Johnson to talk to Moses and Elijah, I thought, I'm going to believe that. That's going to be my new definition of prayer. So I've renewed my mind. So my definition of prayer was old ladies on their knees praying. I replaced that with going up on a mountain and turning bright white and talking to Moses and Elijah.
Yeah.
And it took me a long time to replace that image in my mind, but I worked on it. I worked on it so hard. It's in one of my books. I told my wife, honey, I don't pray anymore. I engage. And she's like, don't tell your daughter. Because she's saying, you're not going to pray anymore? Well, no, I'm going to do better. I'm going to engage. I didn't know what that meant, but Matthew 17, 1, 2, 3 was what it meant for me, right? So that word transfigure is the same word in Matthew 17. The word transfigure in 2 Corinthians 3:18 is always good, you know, for all the students in the Word to interpret Scripture with Scripture, not Scripture with experience or opinion. Most believers, or at least Western American believers, do that. We translate Scripture based on our experience. Well, Jesus didn't really walk on water. Well, he can because Son of God thing. But that's it. No one else can. Well, how come Peter? We interpreting Scripture by our thoughts, reason, logic, that's not the best way. The best way is either Scripture or the Holy Spirit. Okay? That's the best way. Again, short. Evolution, then revolution. And both those efforts are not by might, not by might, not by power, but by the Spirit of the Lord. Right? Because this isn't something we're going to work up. It's not going to be a great program or plan. Now, there will be some great programs and plans, but this is not that. Okay. I believe, just like in 1 Corinthians 15:45, when the last Adam, Christ, became a life-giving spirit, restoring the dead to life, that it says that Christ became a living spirit. I believe that we are going to become life-giving spirits. We're going to become everything that's in the heart of Jesus. Not everything we've been taught, not everything that we've seen. It's like the first time I spoke in Alabama to a youth group, I said, tongue-in-cheek, as I walked through the crowd of white people, that Jesus was black. You would have thought they all died right there. Hands went up. Mr. Wally, did you say Jesus was? I go, yeah. And I kept talking to them. My hand went up. Oh, excuse me. Can we go back a second here? And I go, what? You have a question? Yeah, you said Jesus is black. I go, what color is Jesus? They go, he has blonde hair and blue eyes. I go, what picture are you talking about? At our church, there's a big picture of Jesus, and it's official. I go, guys, it's a stained glass picture. Blue looks good, and blonde looks good, but Jesus was Semitic, and at least black hair, probably this color. That's the video. You know? And these kids were like, what? We've been lied to. Now, they weren't lied to officially, but that's the image they had in their mind. Right? So sometimes when we read Scripture, we put it based upon what we believe or think and reason. Our reasoning faculties are not the best validation of the Word of God. The best validation is the Holy Spirit. He's the best teacher and interpreter of the Word of God. Do not limit the Word of God based upon your understanding of the Word of God. Matter of fact, the understanding of the Word of God is optional. If God says, do something, don't do a Wally and say, I need 12 verses. Can you explain them to me quickly? Now, in the beginning, when you first get saved, and you're building a relationship and you ask a question, he may give you 4,000 scriptures, right? I have some friends that love God so much, God says, they don't even have words. God just looks at them, they know what to do. I'm like, what is that? They have built, they've cultivated that, right? You can too, but it does take some time. All relationships, spiritual, physical, take time. Okay. So, this evolution thing, this revolution thing. I think some verses in Matthew chapter 16 and Matthew 17 will give us a process of getting there. Hopefully, in Matthew, you can turn it if you want to, but I'm kind of going to paraphrase a bit. We know in Matthew chapter 17, Jesus is talking to disciples. Round one question is, hey, what do the people think? Who am I? What do they say who I am? And the guys say a few things. So Jesus is, and I believe that we have to get our minds right, right? We got to get out of our mouth what we're thinking about something, whether it be this building, your life, your family, your businesses, what's going on, where, what. What are we doing with reality? So Jesus is doing a reality check, right? Hey, what's the, all those folks up there, what are you guys hearing? He tells them something. He's getting what's in their head in front of them, right? Because in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 16 and 17, verse 16 says this, I'm going to read this to you, this is very important. Consequently, from now on, we estimate and regard no one from a purely human point of view. Okay? In the terms of natural standards of value. We even once estimated Christ from a human point of view. And as a man, we thought he was just some guy that talked really good and did some stuff, right? Yet now we have such knowledge of him that we know him no longer in the terms of the flesh. Now, when this was written, Jesus already lived, died, resurrected, and gone. So they got the revelation after the game, right?
Yeah.
Now, you're in the game right now. If you wait until you die to go, Jesus, you could have helped me on earth? Oh, man, that would have been so cool. You could have been walking with me and talking with me. Man, why didn't I know that then? You were at that meeting and the Wally guy told you that. Why? He's from Oklahoma. You know, whatever excuse you got, right? You know? But here's the deal. These guys didn't figure it out until Jesus was gone. Okay? When are you going to figure out who you are? What are you waiting for? Right? Because the next verse says, is the answer. Therefore, if anyone is engrafted in Christ, he's a new creation. Right? The old things have passed away. Behold, new things have come. So in this new thing, at least we got to start believing for something more than we already know. You may not know what you're going to look like next week, or how you're going to change a city, or a state, or a nation. But if are you open to doing that? All right. I walked my dad's dog one day, and I look up, and I see the constellation of Orion. Right. I go, hey, hill belt. You know.
Yeah.
And I'm looking up there. And the Lord goes, that's how I see you. What? That's humongous. I don't know how big that is. And I'm going like, really? Now I have a choice. Do I believe the voice in my head? Or do I believe me? Because I know I'm not that big. I can look. Nope, I'm not, right? Do I believe me? My purely human point of view? In terms of natural standards? And be old? Or do I believe the little voice in my head that said, I see that way? Well, if I believe that, someone will think I'm foolish. Don't tell people what you believe. Start believing what he says, right? And I thought, wow, that's kind of cool. And scripturally, you get the stuff when the guys said they went out to the promised land, spied out the land, came back. And they said, we see ourselves as grasshoppers in their eyes. How do you see yourself? Well, I would like to do more things for God, but my parents really didn't teach me the scriptures, and we didn't go to church, and I'm a grasshopper, I'm a grasshopper, I'm a grasshopper, I'm a grasshopper, I'm a grasshopper. And one day when I die, I'll know who I am. Well, it's too late to play on earth. You know, this is training ground. We get to learn how to do stuff so we can reign here. But after here, there's more things to play with, right? Okay? So you don't limit yourself of what you see in the mirror. But at least love who you see in the mirror. When I was in college, I didn't love me. I could not look in the mirror. This is true. I could not look at myself in the mirror. Of course, now shaving is our thing. You can't, you don't do that. But I couldn't, honestly. I didn't like me. I knew what I did. I knew what I was doing. I knew what I thought. I didn't respect me. It took me almost a year to be able to look in the mirror and say, I love you and you're awesome. You got a plan in the future. For me to tell me that. To me to believe what God said. You won't love you until you believe God loves you. It's impossible. 1 John says, we love because he first loved us. If you don't believe he loves you, you can't love you. And I didn't. So I was like, God's love the world. Right. My parents love me. No, they have to because, you know, murder is a bad thing and they're obligated, you know. And if you live an obligated life, you don't do anything. That's how I was trying to perform. I wanted my perks from, well, you're awesome. Yes, I am. These trophies. And I had trophies. I would dust them off and, you have a question?
No. I'm just.
Well, you can. Please have one.
I don't have one in the
car.
I'll let you know if I do.
Okay. So, again, this is just in the thoughts world. So there's two scriptures here. You should write them down. One is Ephesians 4:18. And it's got a lot of words in here that I don't like a whole lot. But their moral understanding is darkened and their reasoning is clouded. What does that mean? They are alienated, estranged, this word is easy, self-banished from the life of God in their thoughts. They think God doesn't like them. They think sin has separated them from God. They think that God is a problem with them. They think. It's a thing in your head. God's going, well, I love you. No, I know. You're just saying that because I know how you really feel about me. And I'm going to live like the way I think you feel about me. And I won't ask you. And when I have asked him, I thought, oh, you're saying that. I know it says in the Bible, but that's not true for me. That's true for her, because I know you love her, but okay. you don't really. You're just putting on a game, you know. You are self-banished from the life of God with no share in it. This is because of the ignorance that's deep-seated in me. So Wally Johnson's 55 years old. If I've been thinking about how I'm separated from God for 55 years, that's called deep-seated. I've been meditating on it. Man, I wish God loved me. Man, that family, I think they're believers. Everything works out for them. Now, you don't know their life, but you assume that. We have these game things in our head, right? Due to their hardness of heart, to their insensitivities, or their moral nature. So hardness of heart means you don't know who's living there, right? If you made Jesus Christ your Lord and Savior, he's living here. And he's a good guy. You're under new management. Matter of fact, it's not your life anymore. It's his life. The life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me. A lot of love's involved there. So if you don't know what love is, you don't understand who you are, right? But once you accept the love thing, you go, okay, and he's good. Oh, and it's not my life? We're living it together? How do we do that? That's right, you got to talk it out. It's like a three-legged race. You go to the picnic, you sign your partner, they tie the thing there. If you don't talk, you fall down, right? You go, I thought you were... But if you go, okay, how are we going to do this? This is you and God. God's living inside of you. God who created everything is in your belly, inside of you. If you don't talk about how we're doing Monday morning, you're going to fall on Monday morning. And then when you get up, you're going to fall again in the kitchen. Because you two haven't talked about how we're going to get to the day.
That's good.
Okay? And this is the three-legged race. And we've all seen this. It's on TV, right? Some of you have actually participated in it. You know, if you haven't done it, do it. You got some video? Do the three-legged race to find out how to live with God, right? But we have to do that. It takes coordination and cooperation to be successful in the three-legged race. You have been bound together with cords of love with the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, and the lover of your soul. Mm-hmm. Now, if you ever done the three-legged race with your enemy, that's a whole different story. Mm-hmm. But this is not your enemy, you know. Mm-hmm. He picked you. You didn't pick him. He knew you. He wants to work with you, but will you work with him? Or will you spend the rest of your existence trying to get out of that bond and not run the race at all. I want to go this way. Well, okay, where you want to go? And our good God will actually go with you. Okay. Where are we going? I'm not telling you. I don't believe you exist. I just said the prayer because my mom made me. Well, I don't think there's a bond there, the mom made me pray thing. But some things, like when my dad went to Korea in 19 early, we stayed home with my grandmother, and grandmother went to church like every 3 minutes, which meant we were there every 3 minutes. Church was just a block and a half down the street. And I remember saying a prayer, God, I'm the eldest male. I need help taking care of me, mom, grandma, my brother, and my one sister. So I would appreciate some help. Amen. And everything went cool for the year, or not, however long Dad was gone. Dad comes back from the war, and I remember saying, God, thanks for the help. Dad's got this. Don't need you anymore. And so in my mind, I said, appreciate it. But because I started a relationship with God, I think God went, anyway. And I was like, what are you doing here? I told you we're done. Anyway. And he kept walking in my life. Now, I wasn't paying attention to him, you know, but he was still doing stuff because I had invited him in. And he loved me so much, he didn't listen to my silly words about, Dad's back, we got this. So I look back and I go, how stupid is that? You know, I'm telling God Almighty I don't need your help anymore because my dad's back. That's what I said. But in my mind, I self-alienated myself from God. I didn't depend upon him anymore. I didn't look to him. I had no hope and expectation because in my mind, I only needed him when my father was in another country. So what's your excuse? You know, and it's that simple to believe. Colossians 1:21, it's my thing. And although you at one time were estranged and alienated from him, and had a hostile attitude in your mind. So it's really about what you think about. And the scripture, Proverbs 23 says, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. So if you think you can live your life without God, you will try to live your life without God. And you'll hope a lot of things, but you will not do a lot of things because you can't do it on your own.
Right.
Now, we all know that, but we don't live the same way. Right? Are we living totally dependent upon the Lord? It took me a long time to create this definition of maturity. Maturity for me is growing more dependent upon God, not less dependent. Okay. And see, I made up a definition. I thought, like, well, you know, in the natural, when you become 18 or 19 or 20, you move out of the house and you get your own job and you start paying your own bills. So I thought of the same thing in the kingdom. Okay, thank you for those verses. Got it. Three more verses. Got it. Good. Thank you for equipping me to go live this life without you. I thought that was growth. And actually, I'd seen that modeled amongst other believers. But that's not it, you know? I'm out there suffering because I won't call for help. And God wants to help me, right? So, got to change our thinking. So, Matthew 16 for me was Jesus working with the guys to change their thoughts. The last verse of Matthew 16, he says, okay, guys, who do you say that I am? And only one guy got it right. What, did he get it right because of his thoughts? No. He got it right because my Father in heaven revealed this to you. Okay? So your life comes right when we start looking into receiving my Father who's in heaven gave you the answer. So Matthew 16 is all about what you're thinking. Where's the source of your thoughts? You get your source, do you get your source from the world? What the world says? Do you get the source from your own thoughts? Or do you get a source from your Heavenly Father who wants to tell you what's going on? Now, once the thought life issue is dealt with, Matthew 16, we go to Matthew 17. Matthew 17, verse 1 says, and Jesus took the guys up to the mountain for prayer. I believe that this is a part of the evolution portion, right? Now, I've been chewing on for a while why he only took the three, right? I'm thinking that the other nine disciples they could have gone, you know. I'm thinking for some reason they didn't believe, but I don't know. It's still kind of of course, is out on that. But the three that went, they went, right? Now, when you go to Israel, you'll be walking around on great tours, and you'll find out there's no mountains in Israel. So I personally believe that Jesus took them up to a mountain that didn't exist. He took them to the Spirit. Okay. In John 10, it talks about Jesus. Jesus is the door. Psalm 24 talks about we're doors and portals. Lift up your head, O you gates, you ancient doors. I believe the way to real transformation, real transfiguration, real evolutional change is we got to go through the door. Okay. What door are we talking about? Okay. And this is the part I got to listen real clear about. I believe when the Bible says I'm a door, I believe that. Mm-hmm. Okay. I'm learning to believe that. I'm like, do I have a handle? What do I open up to? What's on the other side? I can't see what's on the other side. So don't think about it. I'm learning to believe it, period. Not, what does that mean? Okay. Here's what I believe it means. When Jesus took the three, not the 12, but the three up, I believe it was, guys, I'm going to open my door. I want you to go through me. When he opened the door, verse 2, and the light started shining through, someone came through. Moses and Elijah came through. The next verse says, Peter goes, oh my God, I'm glad we're here. We're going to build tabernacles. Wrong answer. I believe when Moses and Elijah came through, Peter, James, and John were supposed to go through and be transfigured. But instead, they spectated. They go, wow, look at that. Great miracle. Moses. How do they know it was Moses? Okay. And so I believe when if you choose to believe that we are doors, at any moment in time, you can step through that door and be transfigured.
Yeah.
Whether the door is Jesus, whether the door is Dr. Dave, whether the door is Mr. Wally, whether the door is Anna. It's not about who, it's about do you believe. Because we're all doors. Okay? Yeah. We're all doors. So, the evolution is going to start when we start believing and stepping through. Okay? Every word I speak is a door also. But do you believe? Right? Now, my belly is not opening up and you guys dive through. There's a movie. I've seen the movie that does that. That ain't it. But do you believe that we're being transfigured as you behold the glory of God? Okay? Where's the glory of God? It's in here. It's in there. Right? Well, that's not natural. We're not talking about a natural life.
No.
We've got to get way past this natural thing. The evolution we're talking about is not natural. And it's not a, well, my mind's getting clearer. I don't think about women anymore. I don't think that my calling, in college I told this guy that's helping me that I was called to women. That's my ministry. The guy goes, I think it's lust. No, it's a gift. I really believed for a moment, for a week or two, that I was God's gift to women. I was running around excited. I was excited because I had a purpose. It was perverted
purpose.
But that's where I was, right? So we fixed that. But what's in your mind? Okay? This is where you taking your thoughts captive to the Father and go, hey, is there anything in me keeping me from going to the door? Is there anything keeping me from this evolution? Is there anything keeping me in the old and not in the new? What is this kinosapien thing? Get your dictionary out. Oh, kinos means new. Sapien means being. Oh, I want to be new. Yeah. And so, like I said, on the prayer thing, I had to replace my definition of prayer from something that was boring and sleepy and I go to sleep to Matthew 17 verses 1 through 3. So when I, for the last 2 years, when I engage with a believer on the phone, on Messenger, on Skype, I'm expecting to be transformed to one level of glory. Because I believe Christ is in you. I believe Christ is in you. I believe Christ is in you. I believe that. If I believe that, if I'm beholding the glory of God, Christ in you, the hope of glory, then I should be changed. Every time I engage with another believer, I'm believing that I'm changing. I'm believing that. Do I check to see if I'm glowing? Sometimes I do. Honestly, I do. You know? Because I'm believing, right? And what I'm believing for, things happen, right? And closing on the whole believing thing, so I told you last year, the Lord said, okay, you're going to be, I want you to go to New Zealand. Why? And I want you to be son of God. What? Can I have a book or something on that? Can I have some tips, the 12 tips to being a son of God? He goes, well, on your business card, it says son of God. I go, well, that's me being cute. That's not, I know what it means. It's a faith statement, you know? And I said, God, I was just, is that okay? Yeah, you can go do that. Well, he didn't tell me what that was. So I go to New Zealand last November and came back on, I went on election day. I was on the plane flying over the ocean during where you guys were voting. I'd voted earlier. On the plane, he starts saying about whenever you ascend, if you believe that things change when you're there, when you come down, things, so there should be evidence of you coming down.
Yeah.
And he said, when I came down on the planet, there was smoke and fire and shakings and earthquakes.
Okay.
And I said, in my seat next to people, you're saying, I'm typing out the message, you're saying that when I come down, I should expect the same thing? And I said, earthquakes? When I said earthquake, in my head, I had a message on earthquakes. And I was going to teach on, when you come down, there should be a consequence. So, land in Christchurch, get picked up by the first host family, get their house, have a dinner meeting. So at the table, they had a couple couples over. I babbled about something. The next day, I spoke at a meeting house, similar to this, not as nice as this is awesome. Theirs was a rugby club smell and stuff. You know? But it was a gathering place,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
And that was cool. And they welcomed me because I told them right off the bat that rugby's awesome sport and football is for girls. So they thought, you're okay. You know? I played rugby for 1 year, and my brothers played for a lot, 15, 16 years. So they were like, okay, he's righteous. Yeah, they let me speak to them. And so I didn't talk about the earthquake message there. That was for later on, because I wasn't quite ready yet to deliver it, actually. So the next day, we drove 5 hours south to New Zealand, and I'm speaking at my first church meeting. You know, I don't think I've spoken in the church. That was my first church meeting in New Zealand, for sure. I walk in, and the worship team is warming up. I go, hey, can I play with you guys? They go, sure. And I know they're thinking, well, I'm the guest speaker. You have to let the guest speaker play, because I'm the guest speaker, you know. So I play, and I do that. I'm thinking I'm supposed to deliver the word there, but I don't. I deliver it the next night, and the worship was so awesome that it went, you know how worship, so sometimes worship is the message, right?
Yeah.
And it was that, and I didn't want to be the guy that goes, and only had 2 hours, you know. I did speak because there was a couple that drove up from the tip of New Zealand up. I don't know why they came to see me, but they did. So I say two prophetic words. I say, hey, there's angels dancing the little girl. There's a bigger angel dancing the big guy, and they're pulling on your scarf. And I'm thinking, I feel like I need to add the scarf part, but I did, and it ended up being really good. Then I said, the sound of what was released here actually went into the waters and circled the nation. It went into the heights and the depths of the land, and the two islands of New Zealand, North Island and the South Island, are now surrounded by this word, and it's released a shaky. And then exactly 2 hours later, McDonald's in Christchurch, I'm sitting there eating a triple something New Zealand McDonald's burger, and I'm on a stool and I'm starting to do this. Now, I'm thinking, this is day three or four in New Zealand, and every day, several times a day, people go, I bet you're experiencing like something from the flight, air sickness or dizziness. And so now I'm thinking it's manifesting, right? You know, my equilibrium's off, and so I'm on the stool, and I'm doing this. And I'm like, I look at the table, see if the pastor is kicking my stool, right? He's got short legs, so it's not him, and I'm just doing this, and no one's talking about the fact that I'm doing this, right? And I'm thinking like, and I'm still dealing with pride issues, and I know everything, so I'm thinking, well, it was an earthquake, they would say, not the stranger guy who's a tourist guest deal. So finally, it's a long time. I mean, it's at least 30 seconds come by, and I'm doing swaying, and I'm hoping it's not an ear thingy, you know, kind of deal. And I go, hey, guys, is there anything going on with you? And they're right across the table. They go, what do you mean? I'm like, I'm thinking equilibrium. I've lost my ear equilibrium. I go, are you guys swaying? And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, oh no, it's me, right? And they look at me and they go, oh, it's an earthquake. And I go, great, it's not my equilibrium gone, right? And we're all swaying now. And I'm thinking, like, why aren't the other people swaying? And why aren't the people behind the counter screaming? Now, I lived in California for a while, so we get alcohol all the time, so it's fairly normal. But New Zealand isn't normal, so I'm thinking someone should be talking about it other than me and the two pastors across from me. So I go, hey, are you guys feeling an earthquake? They go, hey, we are. I mean, great, it is confirmed earthquake. So it's still going on, and I'm like, this is a long earthquake, right? And it stops, then the pastor says, I want to apologize. I go, apologize for what? The earthquake. He starts apologizing, and I go, dude, it's not you. He says, what do you mean? It's me. He's like, what do you mean it's you? And I pull my phone out, and I slide over the message about earthquakes. Him and the co-pastor, they're reading the message. They're like, what? And I'm going, what? Now, when God said there would be the same kind of results, I didn't really believe that, you know? I mean, like, but I'm telling you, we got to start believing. Not doubting, not wondering, not pausing. So they look at, they pass it back to me, and we're just silent. Now, I'm not trying to say, thus saith the Lord, wherever I come down, the earth shall shake. Bless the Lord, oh my soul, because I'm awesomely godly, and I'm the son of God, and you're not, or you should be. Anyway, give me more money. And so we're just silent, because I can't figure what's going on. So I get back to the hotel, and I'm like, what? Now my host, who actually drove me down the 5 hours, calls my hotel and goes, are you okay? That was an earthquake. And she, her story is funnier, because when her husband flew back to Christchurch that night, so when the earthquake hit at 12:21, she thought it was her husband in the bed. So she's talking to her husband, who's not there. Yeah. Right? So then she realizes her husband's not there, so then she's a demon, so she's now casting the demon out, then it's the earthquake. So she tells me, I laugh, and I go, and I have to apologize. She goes, then she apologizes. Oh, I'm so sorry, you came to our country. We had an earthquake. And I go, I'm sorry, it's my bad. She goes, what do you mean? Well, I think I caused the earthquake. No, you didn't. You're not all that. Well, I don't know what I am anymore, you know. So then I go, so then we leave the next day, and we're driving 5 hours, and we're talking in the car about, why do you believe you caused the earthquake? I go, oh, that's what I heard on the plane. So I'm learning to believe, right? And not get caught up into the, how is that possible? You're here, how did, because that's here, right? And so now I'm learning to believe, which is like, what happens when you're a son of God? Are you supposed to explain everything? Or are you supposed to be, do, explain? Which one thing is it? Is it a trick question? Not a trick question. Which one is it? You're supposed to
be.
You're not responsible for explaining Jack. Now, as a guy who teaches the Word of God, I love explaining. You see, Pep Dave, when the anointing hits a certain part of your body, these following five things will occur. I love that. I love reasoning and doing that. I could not explain it. So we're driving for 5 hours with two people, drop one off the airport, get back. I fly to northern New Zealand, North Island, land. Guy picks me up. He apologizes for the earthquake. Oh, I'm so sorry about the earthquake. I tell him, I'm so sorry. He goes, two people died. Now I'm freaking out, like, whoa, right.
Yeah.
There's one thing to move a few things. Wally, did you kill two people? Right?
Yeah.
If you caused the earthquake, two people die.
Hurry, get out of the country.
Right.
You're
I'm going, right. You know, where's my God? I must leave. That's my head. I've now, if I take credit for the earthquake, I have to take credit for the two deaths. Right? Mm-hmm. Logic? So I'm thinking, like, I like earthquake, but not only was there earthquake, there was lots of destruction and money and da-da-da-da. I'm like, my head's going, no, 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 no. But do you believe the lead? No, no. I don't want that consequence, but I'm doing this thing, right? I go speak that night, and it was a room like this, but it was more people. And I'm doing my question and answer thing, and I did something there. And the lady right here says, if you cause the earthquake, are you responsible for the death of the two people? I went,
maybe I should shut up.
I should have shut up. And I said, yes. So now I'm a killer. I've flown to New Zealand to kill people. But see, my head's going like, well, if you're all that, you're that. Right? But I'm like going, God? And he goes, here's the deal, son of God. First of all, when I told you when you come down, you forgot the other part. You didn't deal with creation. I could have controlled the earthquake. I was just happy to come down. And there was a result. So when you, the thing is, it just isn't A and B. There's a lot more factors going on, okay? When you, like, for instance, when you stop something, are you stopping everything, right? The first time I dealt with a hurricane, Hurricane Sandy, a couple of years ago, came to D.C., up the coast. I go in the laundry room and do the laundry, and I put the laundry in the thing, and as I turn, I go, well, maybe I should pray, but I don't pray. I engage, so I'm going to engage with the storm. So I start praying in tongues, safe,
yeah.
No head involved, right? No, where's up? I'm in tongues. So I'm doing tongues, and also while I'm doing tongues, I see the coastline. I see the coastline from New Jersey to North Carolina coastline. I live in Virginia. I don't know why I don't see the whole coastline, but this is what I see. And in my little mini coastline vision, I see my hand putting chess pieces along the border. Look at this. As I put the third one on, the third chess piece turns into an angel. Okay? Then now it's an angel. And I went, that's cool. Maybe 3 minutes. 7 minutes max, right? Walk in the house. Wife's watching TV. She says, are you going to go to the hardware store to get sandbags? Because I'm not cleaning up the mess from, because we're a corner house of a yard. I have three houses that feed into mine, right? And usually for some reason when it rains big time, I'm not there. And she cleans up the mud that kind of comes from the porch. And she's like, I'm not doing this again. So you need to get sandbags to put outside the little brick wall so the water doesn't come in. So she's not explaining it. She says, are you going to get sandbags? When she says, are you going to get sandbags? I'm about to tell her about what I did in the garage. The TV weatherman comes on, and he says, and Sandy's going to be a level something. I pivot, and I lay hands on the TV, and I'm speaking to the TV guy, who obviously can't hear me, and I'm telling Sandy, you can't come on shore. I already told you what to do, and you're a lying, false prophet weatherman. And I've never talk to the TV ever before, ever since, like that. I pivot back to my wife thinking, she's seen my faith, a very dramatic outreach, so she'll now understand the answer to the question. She goes, anyway, are you done? Are you going to the store, yes or no? Now I'm thinking, if I say yes, my wife loves me, and she knows I respect her, and I'm listening to her. But if I do that, am I canceling out what I did in the garage?
In the faith, yeah.
She goes, well? And I go, I am not going to the store! Just like that, with my Camelot voice. She gets up, goes down the hallway, and slams the bedroom door. Which means I am not in the bedroom tonight. And me and my Great Dane will sleep on the couch together, which is kind of big because my Great Dane is this tall, right? And we're snuggling. So that morning, I wake up, I peek to see if there's destruction in the yard. the car's turned over, there's floods, and the mud's come in, and, I peek, it's sun's out. There's no rain. Things are dry. I'm like, what? I'm thinking I'm in a vision, dream, something, right? And I've got, and I go, just in case, maybe it didn't rain in the front yard. back. And I go to the back. There's nothing. I mean, it's all no trees down, nothing, nothing. And I'm like, oh my gosh, this stuff works. Yeah. So now on Facebook, I'm telling people, okay, all you got to do is put some pawns, you know, and declare and demand and take your position, right? And my wife comes out. I'm thinking she's going to go, oh my gosh, I've married a great man. He controls the weather. He holds down the house. She goes, what are you doing? And I go, I'm telling the people in New Jersey, because in New York, above New Jersey, they got smacked. And I'm telling them to declare, and she better tell them to get sandbags. I go, what's a sandbag thingy? So there are consequences when you make a stand, right? And sometimes you have to learn how to be who you are. So the first time you stand against something, you're learning, right? You're not going to die, but you get one under your belt, right? Now, that one was, yay, hurricane, bad, but now I had to deal with my relationship with my wife, right? I didn't realize the consequences were going to be that, you know? But we learn, right? We go from one level of glory to another level of glory. And every level is still believing, 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 still working. Now, I could have worked, I could have been pounding on my wife's door. Hey, let me tell you the scriptures I got. Works. Let me reason with you. Works. Logic. Works. Logic. There's no life in that. Right? Life is trusting in Jesus Christ, your Lord and Savior, the one who loves you, the one who will be with you if you're sleeping with your great day tonight. It's okay. Right? We have to learn. We have to renew our mind. Okay? This is what we got to do. Thoughts. Questions. Now, I've never shared all of that way.
It's tough, right?
But it's the evolutions required for the revolution. No evolution, I don't know what kind of revolution is going to be. But it's definitely not revival as we've seen before in the past. It's definitely not like reformation from the past. He's come to do a new thing. He wants to do a new thing with you, with you, with you, with you, with you, and you, and you people, and you people on the audio. That's what he wants to do. And the only question is, will you believe and will you cooperate? That's it. If we do, we'll do this.
Yes.
That's the deal. And y'all are staring at me like, well, that's that crappy thing. You're like, yes, I'm going to take a step with Jesus.
I'm stoked.
It's not about, again, the, you know, making a